Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to be talking everything from fracking to the abundance of natural gas in this country with Lou Finkel. He's the Executive Vice President for Government Relations for the American Petroleum Institute. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Chip Evans, Stacey Woodbury, and Dick Gamak. All coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed, so you can plan, so you can dream, and always remember, press on.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your adventure at TravelNevada.com.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome Lou Finkel to the program. He is Executive Vice President for Government Relations for the American Petroleum Institute. Was in town for the past week talking to the state AFL-CIO as their keynote speaker. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
You know, who in the world would have thought that in Nevada, due to fracking, that we'd be talking about us being an oil state? Your thoughts on fracking in Nevada?
So Nevada has this long history with resource development, with mining, especially with gold. Elko County has learned what a lot of other states across the country have, like states like South Dakota and across the Texas border with Mexico, that technology has enabled the realization of development of oil and gas resources in a way that we haven't seen in three generations.
And it's nothing new either. Nope. I mean, fracking has been around for what, 60
65
years?
65 years, yeah. It's a technology that was developed early on, and I think the application of it was, it took a while to determine that technology actually was fully applicable to realizing the gas and oil held within a lot of these shale formations throughout the country. So what the technology does is you drill a deep well, you protect that well through down past the water table, protect the water table, down to those shale formations, then you inject water, and sand, to keep the cracks open into the ground at high speeds, and it creates this fracturing effect, where you create all these small cracks in the shale formation. Then you take the liquid and the sand out, and all the sand, some of the sand stays to hold open the crack, and then the gas and the oil comes back up, and you harness and take it to market.
To present the other side of the coin, the environmentalists say that this is bad for the groundwater, potentially poisoning the groundwater, but the governor of Colorado actually drank the fracking water as a point of saying that This is not dangerous.
There has been no evidence and no shown instances where there's about a million hydraulically fractured wells across the country at this point. Not one instance has there been any evidence that hydraulic fracturing, injection of the water and sand into the ground, has contaminated the water.
What about the issue, again, that the environmentalists bring up, which is the usage of water in a desert for this? My understanding is that it's actually a pretty limited use of water.
Look, the amount of water used to hydraulically fracture a well is about 1.3% of what's used in a car wash on a daily basis. So if they don't want us to fracture wells, then maybe we should shut down all the car washes across the country. If you want to conserve water, that's one conversation. But we also, the other piece that's important, we reuse this. We inject it, we bring it back out, we process it, and we re-inject it again.
The idea, and this goes back certainly in my lifetime to the early 70s, when we had the great gas crisis brought on by OPEC, the idea of America being energy independent, not only energy independent, but actually being a net exporter of gasoline and natural gas is stunning. At what point do you think this is going to occur? Is it going to be 5 years, 10 years? How soon?
Well, we're already a net exporter of refined products. I mean, we're there already. So the thresholds are amazing. We're the number one natural gas producer in the world. And every month that goes by, it seems that there's more applications for liquefied natural gas exports to make its way out of the country. So, I mean, natural gas, and we've realized all the price benefits of the production through shale of natural gas throughout the country. You know, much like you, Sam, I remember the 70s sitting in the back seat of my mother's red station wagon waiting online. And I've been involved in public policy discussions about energy for the better part of 20 years now. 10 years ago, this was something, all we talked about was our dependence on foreign oil, our dependence on foreign oil from rogue regimes, from the Middle East, from countries that could hold us hostage. 5 years ago, when Congress was examining significant changes to our statutory framework for energy, this wasn't even in the offing yet. Over 5 years, we've seen a dramatic increase through this technological development of both horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing. Sometime at the beginning of next year, we'll become the number one oil producing country in the world. So producing more oil than Saudi Arabia, more oil than Russia. This gives us an incredible amount of security. Think back to either the 70s or even during the Gulf War in the 90s or Iraq and Afghanistan over the last over the last 10 years. Every time there's been violence in parts of the world that are producers of oil and natural gas, we've seen dramatic increases in the price of oil, right? So currently, we have unrest in the Ukraine and tensions with Russia. We have fighting in Gaza and with Israel. And we have an incredible amount of violence with ISIS in Iraq and in Syria. And the price of oil has come down $2 to $3 over the last several weeks. I mean, that is wholly attributable.
Not $2 to $3. You mean a barrel?
$2 to $3 per barrel.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'm checking the gas pump.
I'm sorry. My apologies.
No, I got
$2 to $3 per barrel. Usually, you'd see a price jump of $2 to $3, even $4, and you'd have a run-up because of that with concerns about production and global production. The U.S. production is great for consumers. It stabilizes the global marketplace, and hopefully, Congress will examine our current ban on exports and allow us to let the global marketplace work in a free and complete way.
All right. Let's get more into this when we come back. We'll take a break. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Give me land, out to land under starry skies above.
Plan your adventure at TravelNevada.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Lou Finkel. He's the Executive Vice President for Government Relations for the American Petroleum Institute. I want to bring up a couple of topics here related to what we were talking about in the first segment. One is that despite, you know, it's a global market for oil, but most of the oil the United States has been getting in the last, I would say, decade has been from Canada, from Mexico, even from Venezuela. And we don't actually purchase that much oil from the Middle East. Now, with the amount of oil that's going to be generated in this country, are we going to see some kind of breakup of OPEC, or is it still going to be a global commodity, meaning that we won't see any dramatic drop at the gas pump for American drivers?
Well, I think that the more that we produce domestically, the better the opportunity is for us to, again, realize the price benefit, the price impacts.
But as it's a global commodity, unless we break away and have a different alliance in OPEC, then how will we see that savings?
Well, I guess the starting point, Sam, is that U.S. oil isn't impacting the global market at this point. I mean, it helps stabilize because when we can't get supplies from other places, we're consuming more here than we ever had before, and the numbers are clear. 60-some-odd percent of what we're consuming on an annualized basis is domestically produced. Allowing U.S. exports and allowing that global marketplace to work effectively will, without question, bring down the price point of gasoline. And this isn't me saying this. IHS did a study that was released in May.
Who's IHS?
They're a consulting firm that focuses on the energy industry. They released a report saying that we could see significant downward price pressures by the U.S. entering the global marketplace, because what it does is allows for that stabilization, that the U.S. production, which will be the number one producing country, and admittedly we're also the number one consuming country, but it'll allow us to move at the marketplace and send different kinds of crude products, whether heavy or light sweet, to the right refining capacities around the world and manage it domestically to ensure that our consumers are able to realize that downward price pressure.
Did they have any idea of what we'd be looking at? Would it be 50 cents a gallon less, a dollar a gallon less?
I think they, I mean, part of it's tied to whatever the price of oil is at that time and whatever the transport costs are. But I think they were talking about 12 to 14% downward pressure on gasoline.
All right. Let's talk about the Keystone Pipeline.
Okay.
The president, despite several missives from the State Department, still has not given approval for this. Senator Reid on this program, and I'm paraphrasing here, but talked about this is the nastiest, dirtiest kind of oil. Why would we want to bring this into the United States? Your thoughts on where we are with the Keystone Pipeline?
The oil sands, the production from the oil sands in Canada is coming to market one way or another. Whether it comes through the Keystone Pipeline, or it comes on rail cars, or it comes on a pipe from Alberta heading west to the western coast of Canada. It's going to come to market. But the fundamental question is whether the United States is going to realize the economic benefits and the jobs. 42,000 jobs to build the pipeline and 500,000 long-term sustained jobs in the refining space from bringing the oil sands into the United States. I mean, the question we need to ask ourselves, Sam, is are we going to invest in jobs? Are we going to bring that heavy oil down to U.S. refineries, which are optimized, especially on the Gulf Coast, that have a long tradition of refining heavy crude, allow them to process this crude coming out of Canada and get it into the global marketplace. It's going to get done someplace. The question is, are we going to do it here and realize the economic benefits of it?
At what point, if we don't approve it, do you think that there's going to be a pipeline to the West Coast that's going to go to China? And I don't mean the pipeline, but shipping it to China.
Sure. There's already, TransCanada is already looking at certain proposals to head west. There was news several weeks ago where there was the initial stages of an application for a pipe heading to the western coast of Canada by TransCanada. And I can't remember the secondary pipeline company that was part of it. But one way or another, they're going to produce and they're going to bring this to market. We just need to make the decision on whether or not we want to realize the jobs or let them be realized someplace else.
Natural gas. We have become so dependent on natural gas and the pricing of natural gas. Do you see a point in time because of fracking where we're going to start seeing an increase in price, or do you think it's going to still stay at this low level?
Our production curve continues to go up. We continue to produce more, whether it's in Marcellus in the east, whether it's down in Texas, North Dakota, and here in Nevada. Elko County has got the potential not just for oil production, but for gas as well. We're the number one natural gas producing country in the world. And I think that we will continue to see that growth curve of production to bring those resources to market, both for American consumers and for the global marketplace.
You know, as we look at this increase in what some have termed a renewal of the Cold War, you're seeing Russia with these massive amounts of natural gas, but using it as a club against Ukraine and sure. Europe. Your thoughts on that? And we have about a minute left.
I appreciate you bringing that up. You know, our global energy supremacy now in the United States is not just about U.S. consumers. It's about global security. It's about national security. We can bring our resources, whether it's oil or natural gas, to market with our friendly countries, especially in Europe, that are so dependent on Russian natural gas, to help stabilize that market and not allow for the Russians to extort, in many cases, our colleagues and our allies in Eastern and both Eastern and Western Europe.
It's going to be fascinating days ahead.
Agreed.
Who would have thunk? Going back 30 years.
No doubt.
Actually, 40 years. All right. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate
Thank
your
you
time.
For your
if you come back to Reno or Las Vegas, come back and see us.
Happy to. Thank
All right.
You.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Dollar Loan Center, your trusted name in lending for 15 years, now has two great ways to serve you. Signature and title loans. We lend more for your vehicle and guarantee better rates with no credit checks. Or get a signature loan up to $2,500. No collateral required. Apply in store or online at don'tbebroke.com.
The insurance companies know we're like a train heading for the courthouse. And unless they throw enough money on the tracks for our clients, we are not going to stop.
Go lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
August 27th to September 1st, taste the best ribs anywhere as more than 20 of the nation's top rib cookers compete and bring the meat to the street at the 26th annual Best in the West Nugget Rib Cook-Off. With the Nugget World Rib Eating Championship, free top name entertainment, 300 craft vendors, and the country's best barbecue, there's something to satisfy all your senses at the last great cookout of the summer over the Labor Day holiday on Victorian Square. Come hungry and enjoy the Best in the West Nugget Rib Cook-Off. For event information, go to NuggetRibCookoff.com.
Wake up and come play.
Make something new.
Play Dress Up with us.
And get moving, too.
Watch all your friends enjoy the fun right here on NBC Kids.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great heart-pounding panel. As always, Dick Gamick is here, the Washoe County District Attorney. We also have Stacy Woodbury, who's Executive Director of Nevada State Medical Association, and Chip Evans, General Manager with American Matters Media. Pleasure to have you all here. Dick, I mean, the community is just very excited about this first drone company to actually come into the state. 400 high-paying jobs over the next couple of years. Your thoughts on Ashima?
It's going to be tremendous. In our Rotary Club here a couple of weeks ago, we had an individual. His nickname is Bum. That's the tag. That was his call sign, Bum Rap, who is working with the FAA, and he's administering Northern Nevada on the whole drone thing, and he was all fired up. It's going to be a tremendous asset for this state, not only the jobs, but just the technology and the things that are going to happen here. I'm pretty excited about it.
The thing you must have loved is the idea that a police officer, instead of having to go around a wall to see what's behind that wall, can now send a drone in, and if there's a shooter there, they can deal with the situation.
I think it boggles the mind to think of all the capabilities and what is the future holds with the use of drones, and that's one of them. But, I mean, you can do all kinds of things with those, as they found out over in the war zones, and not put people at risk.
And also, you know, and we should point out that they don't like it really being called drones, because the idea of drone people associate with war, but there are so many consumer things that are going to be a benefit here. Your thoughts on this and how it might apply in the medical field?
I think it's fascinating for a number of different things. When you look at emergency situations, and it takes time to get an EMT and a fire truck there, and they can send the drone ahead to assess things. And in a wildland fire situation, they can send it ahead. And it's just amazing to me that they can strap the device to their arm and control it right there. They don't have to have someone else doing it, so they can have that mobility in the situation to be able to even maybe get that thing inside a vehicle or something. And I think that can be a tremendous help to first responders.
You know, this is the first big company that's making their move here. 400 employees is a lot of people, especially in high-paying jobs. This is really a tremendous coup for economic development.
Well, from an economic development stance, it absolutely is. But, you know, I'd like to go back to the just general topic of drones and UAVs for a moment. We need an entire infrastructure to go with these. I mean, there are privacy issues, there's airspace issues. Already we've got interference in police operations with private drones where people are flying those things. And this is a case where we're catching up after the technology yet again. And I think we've got a lot of work to do on that. You know, the possibilities are endless.
But that's really why the FAA wanted to do what they're doing, which is designating these six states as places where the drones can be tested. I mean, the two main things are they shouldn't fly into each other, and they shouldn't land on the ground and hurt somebody. So, you're right. I mean, they are behind the curve.
Yeah, this is an international thing, and I can tell you it's very easy to get a drone of your own right now. Okay. And these can be the size of flies at some point.
People may be aware right now, and that was something that BumRap emphasized, is there's nothing in the regs or rules that allow private persons to operate UAVs or drones in the airspace. Because you got another big issue out here. You've already got a big airspace with a lot of commercial traffic and everything else, that these things could really cause some damage to an airliner. So people do not have the authority to be flying them, and they could get in trouble for it.
Well, I'm thinking they're going to put the bus tours of the homes of the stars out of business. Sees Christie Brinkley in her backyard.
Oh, you're dating yourself, young man. Okay, let's talk about the lawsuit here from the former police chief for the Washoe County School District as that flares into the public eye again.
I'll start. Mike Maris, I don't know what he had for a contract.
We have about 2 minutes, by the way.
I believe he was at will, and he was relieved. And I know of one situation anyway where he was just way out of line with the superintendent. I don't know if that continued or not, but I know my situation that I witnessed was not appropriate. So I'm waiting to see with that. I'm also wondering where Barbara is as head of the school board trustees.
Barbara Clark. Right?
Yes, Barbara Clark, because she even came out publicly and said they were wrong. Pedro is saying, give me my attorney's fees and give me an apology, and we're past this.
The school superintendent. Right?
Yes, Pedro Martinez, and he's saying, give me an apology and give me my attorney's fees, and we're past this. And she's saying, why do we owe him an apology? And she's already publicly admitted that they were wrong in what they did. So I'm not understanding a whole lot of this.
Over the years, I've seen government be wrong many times, and I've never seen them apologize for it. I think that
it's not in their nature.
It's not in the nature, and particularly in a legal document. I mean, even there's been legislation in the medical field where there's if a doctor says, I'm sorry, that's then used as an admission of guilt against them in a court of law. So, you know, we've tried to get that rectified, that it's not an admission, but the trial bar doesn't want to do it.
And in fact, really, doctors who have made mistakes have felt terrible and have wanted to sit down with the victim and give them their thoughts, and they just literally, legally cannot do it.
They're advised not to do that.
Chip, your thoughts on this? Well, I mean, it just seems to be a continuing mess.
Yeah, it's a public discussion. I want to know whose idea it was that let's change the story. Yeah, it's all about the CPA thing. Yeah, that's the ticket. I think there's plenty of things to apologize for, and I think they should. Just do it.
All right, but I mean, at this point, we're talking, unlike Bob Cachot when he was on this program saying it might be a $5 to $10 million settlement, we're talking about $25,000. It seems almost trivial, enough to cover lawyer's fees, maybe.
And if Pedro is very consistent in public and out in private, that's all he wants. This isn't, a lawyer has to protect their client and protect them from additional damage of admitting guilt.
Personal issues are a sticky wicket. I mean, you never know the full story. We'll never know Pedro's full side. We'll never know the school board's full side.
We'll see if that's true or not. And we gotta go. We're out of time. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
It's like AT&T knew what we wanted.
Just the other day, we were saying we wanted a TV experience that fit into our life.
And our budget.
And then we see this U-verse TV deal.
Call to get U-verse TV for just $19 a month with qualifying bundles. Keep the same great price for 2 years guaranteed. Plus, get a total home DVR included for life.
Great deal, huh? And get this, I've always wanted to put a TV in here, but there's no TV outlet. Now we can. By adding the wireless receiver from AT&T, we can move the TV where we want.
And with the total home DVR, we can record 4 shows at once and play them back in any room. We never miss a show now.
Call to get U-verse TV for just $19 a month with qualifying bundles. Keep the same great price for 2 years guaranteed and ask about next day installation.
This AT&T deal was made for us.
Look, they even knew I wanted to record this show.
That was me, hon.
That was her.
It's really big.
It's our Labor Day sale, and it's this Labor Day weekend.
Our guaranteed low prices, Reno, on furniture.
With 0% financing until 2019.
Our best furniture, Reno.
Living rooms, dining rooms, bedrooms on sale.
Kids and teens furniture, mattresses, and leather furniture on sale.
Plus 0% financing until 2019. Yes, 2019.
It's our really big Labor Day sale at More Furniture for Less.
When the Fallon Cantaloupe Festival first started, you could buy a new car for $9,000, put a gallon of gas in it for just over $1, and drive it to the movies where your movie ticket cost $2.75. Well, times have changed, but not the Fallon Cantaloupe Festival. It's still the Labor Day choice for family fun and entertainment, with new carnival games, music for everyone, a $1,000 karaoke contest, fresh produce, and oh yeah, cantaloupes. Check us out at FallonCantaloupeFestival.com.
On our next broadcast, we'll be talking to Tom Robinson of the Reno Police Department on the militarization of the police, and is that the right direction to go? We'll see you on the next broadcast.